Okay, here we are. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Bidders Podcast, the comic book club where we record a different trade paperback every single week, Nathan.
We record a trade paperback?
We record a trade paperback.
We read it.
We read it, review it, record it.
That's the three R's.
I'm Daniel, your brother. We're Nathan. You're my brother, Nathan.
Comics are we.
We read comics.
Read it, review it, record it.
Yeah, we do.
No more reduce, reuse, recycle.
Is there any other parts I'm forgetting? I'm blanked now.
I think you got it all.
Okay.
I think you nailed it just like you normally do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here. I don't know how I can fuck it up in any other way, but I find ways to continue to fuck it up.
The amount of variety that you fuck up the intro is constantly fascinating to me.
Variety is the spice of life, Nathan.
Yeah. Because it's like two bars. our whole intro is like two bars.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm at such a weird energy when we record. It's just like I'm barely like focused.
Yeah.
And
I'm a little burnt out
almost
of the day.
Almost time for bed.
It's
a little
like,
hungry.
It's like how Arnold Schwarzenegger would work out until he's fatigued and then he would just work out more. And that's how he really got strong.
Exactly.
That's how we train our mental is we just go through the normal mundane day, burn out, and then we record.
Have way too much caffeine during the day and then have more caffeine.
Exactly. But I'm feeling good. I'm excited to talk about comics. I feel like it's been a while since we last talked about comics, even though it's been the normal week, but it's felt longer.
I know. We probably even talked about comics on the weekend.
Yeah, we probably did. Yeah, for whatever we were doing over the weekend. But for those of you that are new, there's time codes for the news for the book that we're reading this week, which is Spider-Man. You get one more day. What is it called?
Spider-Man Tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Spider-Man Edge of Tomorrow. And then
Day After Tomorrow.
Then there's the Back Matter, where we talk about the Back Matter, and then our pull list, where we talk about all the other things we were consuming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, were you going to say something?
Oh, sorry. Nathan, were you at Ash Avenue Comics today?
I sure was.
You were?
Yeah.
Were you asking about the spinner rack and if you could buy it?
Did he snitch on me?
Yeah, dude, because I asked him, I'm like, where do you get spinner racks?
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, my
he's
God.
Like, is your brother here today? I'm like, I don't think so, because he lives kind of far. I don't think he'd come here for comics.
Dude, it's like 13 minutes away, actually.
He's like, someone that looks just like your brother came in here and asked about the spinner racks and asked to buy it. I'm like, I don't think he'd ask to buy your spinner rack.
I was asking if he sold spinner racks because when it was my turn to check out today, he was like super busy and he was like on the phone and he went to like go check on something and I didn't want him to feel like I was in a rush or anything. So I was like looking at the spinner rack that had like all the trades and shit. And I was like, oh, let's see what's here. And I was spinning the spinner rack and I was like, dude, this thing is fucking sick. And so when he came back, I was like, do you sell these? And he's like, no, it'd be cool if we did though. And I'm like, yeah, it would be.
He actually looked at the retailer site or whatever.
They're super expensive, right?
Yeah. And you can buy them. There's like a 44 and a 28 pocket one you can buy.
Aren't they like $2,000?
No. The 44 was like $300.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I don't know, man. I feel like you could like 3D print one.
No. I mean, yeah, theoretically,
I don't like your attitude with that.
But like, yeah, I can make the shape, but I don't know if it'll spin too good.
But yeah, I'm like, I don't think so. I'm like, I'm sure there's people that look like Nathan.
No, I like decided
but it was you, and that's hilarious.
I decided I'm going there now because the one that's actually closest to me, which is only like 10 minutes away, so it's like a 4-minute difference as far as like drive.
Okay,
cool. It's not that reliable, and I could tell that they're still like getting the shop set up. So every time I go there, I miss like two books. But yeah, I think I'm going to go there now.
Nice.
And then I'll just check
in.
I'll just check in on the other place periodically. I don't want to open a box because like...
You don't want to commit to it? You think you're going to move in another year, Nathan?
Do they still do the thing where if you want to cancel on a series, they make you like buy the next three?
I don't know about the next three. Maybe like the next one.
That was the thing that I ran into and I want to say it was there. And I haven't opened up a pull box since I stopped.
I've canceled a series before and he's like, oh, I've already ordered like the next one. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then that was it.
I think
maybe
their policy
things.
Changed, but I think it was like you had to order the next three because comics you order like 3 months out basically.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's what I was running into. But I do want a pull list of just like some series.
Maybe the stuff that you just know you're gonna buy, like Hulk, you know, Green Lantern shit.
Yeah, Green Lantern.
Just not like the stuff that you're like
but even
on the edge about.
Even like with Green Lantern stuff that bit me in the ass a little bit. Because, like, I have all of it from when there was, like, Green Lanterns and the Green Lantern Corps.
Like the Rebirth?
The Rebirth one. There's those two series going out, and I like them both, but they're coming out so fast. Uh-huh. So I have like 40 issues of that run that I've never read.
Huh.
So
anyway, that's
funny.
Let's
get into the news. Yeah, it is pretty funny.
Murder Falcon is getting a deluxe hardcover coming May 2022.
We should hit up a little DWJ, Daniel Warren Johnson.
Yes, sir. I'm like, I'm sure that means Daniel Warren Johnson, but yeah, yeah, that.
Imagine the back matter, Nathan. I would love to see the back matter in
the
there.
The back matter would go stupid.
What if he puts his like Spotify code for that song he made for Murder Falcon?
Ooh.
That. Wait,
how many issues was that?
It was only like five. Four or five.
So it's like just a really small hardcover?
Unless there's a lot of back matter.
True.
DC Comics' Naomi returns next year for a second season from the original series creators.
Oh, that's good.
So Bendis is going to be back on it.
So he's not out of DC.
He's not out of DC.
Maybe he's working on the show
or something. I know he's not out of DC because he just announced like Justice League versus Legion of Superheroes or something.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But yeah, that's cool. That's finally coming back. The TV show, this is also news. The TV show premieres January 11th.
For Naomi?
For Naomi on the CW.
Holy shit. It's a CW show?
Yeah.
It seems so soon, but that's cool.
Yeah. It's from Ava DuVernay as well. So like a for real actor. But yeah, right. That's the cover image.
Yeah, I see it. It looks cool.
So more Naomi coming. I like it. So here's some interesting news. It might be part of why Dan DiDio is not in the spot that he is at DC anymore.
Okay.
But apparently, Dan DiDio was detailing his 5G plans. Do you remember when that was like a thing that was rumored?
5G plans.
It was like basically like, I remember covering it like right when we had started.
Okay.
It was like going to be this big new thing like right after Rebirth.
Uh-huh.
And then it got like canceled for other things.
What's 5G mean?
5G was kind of like another relaunch in a way.
Okay.
And apparently, Dan DiDio was detailing his 5G plans to Grant Morrison. And he went on about how an old Superman would be a super right-wing authoritarian with his new team, the Authority, to take over. And Morrison was horrified at this so much that he volunteered to ensure that it didn't happen, which is how he got onto Superman and the Authority.
So when he was writing Superman and the Authority, that's him like basically,
he's basically
not doing any all of that?
Exactly. And like he was just horrified about the idea. So apparently this is all... I'm reading this off of like a Twitter thread from this guy named @RiteshWriter. I think he's an actual like comics writer.
Okay.
But he got it from this like random interview on YouTube that had 73 views from this kid named Lee Grant, I think.
Okay.
And
he interviewed
Grant Morrison. Yeah.
Oh, sick.
And I was like, dude, fuck yeah. Go this kid. I mean, he's competition, I think.
Grant's so nice.
I know, yeah.
Just like, yeah.
I have it like liked so I can go back and listen to it. But from Grant Morrison, he said, I just said... I don't want to see Superman's not a right-wing authoritarian. That's just not how you do it. If you would let me do a version of Superman that's like a dad, I said, just please don't make him a right-wing tyrant guy. That's just not Superman. And so I got tricked into doing the book again because if I didn't do it, they'd have made Superman a tyrant.
Huh.
And then he said, I really like that book. I didn't want to do it, but once I had done it, I was really glad that it was the last thing I was doing at DC.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Did you see that article on like your Google News?
No, that was a Twitter thread.
Okay, because I saw it. But
oh, really?
Yeah, like oh, the reason why this was made or whatever. But I just like didn't click on it.
Yeah,
but that's crazy. That's dumb as fuck.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be really dumb, and doesn't make sense. But Grant Morrison definitely understands the character, and that series is good. It's over now, I think, and I should read the rest of it.
It should be done now.
Daniel, you like games?
Love games, Nathan.
Wonder Woman game.
Star Wars game.
No, there's going to be a Wonder Woman game.
And there's also going to be a Star Wars game, Nathan.
Okay, let me go over the Wonder Woman game first.
No.
Okay, you go over yours first.
There's just some stills for Star Wars Eclipse, which is a game that's coming out eventually.
Interesting. Apparently there's a trailer for Wonder Woman.
I saw the stills. It looks great.
Of Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's cool.
I think it's made by the people who make like God of War or something.
No.
It was
from the people,
Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor game.
Yep.
And that game is fucking phenomenal. I don't give a rat's ass about Lord of the Rings. That game is so good.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see what this is.
I think that's just a great character to make a game about.
Yeah, it's from a studio called Monolith who made those games and a couple others that are pretty popular. So I'm excited to see what that's going to be about, whether it's like open world or like on Themyscira or whatever the case may be. I'm interested in that for sure.
Do we know when that's coming out?
No idea.
I don't even know why I have this as news because this came out today. Did you see there's like a new Wastelanders book?
Yep.
With Wolverine in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's continuing Old Man Logan. I don't know.
Kind of. Yeah. We talked about it. There's like Wastelanders just like in general that are coming out with.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be like a team book of old people. All the old man people. Remember we were like Old Man Black Widow.
Yeah.
And then there's Old Man Hawkeye, Old Man Logan.
They're just like retirement home Marvel Universe.
Basically. In the desert.
Yeah.
Daniel, do you Nathan. Know, are you familiar with Alex Ross?
I absolutely am familiar with Alex Ross. We've covered like one of his books.
Yep. He's doing another book. Have you heard about this?
Yes, Fantastic Four.
Full Circle.
August 2nd, 2022.
Yep, and it's his first graphic novel written and illustrated by Alex Ross.
No, it's not.
It is.
Didn't he do Justice?
He did. He like co-wrote it, I think, or something like that. But this is from like Alex Ross's Twitter account saying his first graphic novel written and illustrated by Alex Ross.
That's crazy.
Maybe that one wasn't considered like a graphic novel because it was like comics. But okay. Yeah, that seems pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
I would have bet money that Alex Ross would never do like a comic book in like interiors ever again.
Yeah, me too.
Unless it was for like a Marvel like couple pages like book, you know?
Hasn't he been doing Marvels?
Well, like I think he wrote Marvels, but I don't think.
And there's then like another one.
Covers. Yeah,
like I know. The one that's currently coming out.
I think he was maybe writing that one. I haven't picked it up.
Oh,
but if I were like,
I think I got the first one.
So I would expect that he just did interiors for like one or two pages
for
something. But no, this is like a full fucking thing, and it looks incredible. Did you see that cover?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah,
it looks funky.
It looks great,
and it looks like it's going to be more stylized than his traditional like sort of hyper realistic kind of look.
It pulled up?
I have a The cover, I think, is a good representation of kind of what it'll look like. It'll be kind of like the coloring in The Human Target, but with Alex Ross work a little bit.
So you think he's just going to do pencils, not paint it?
I don't know.
That'd be kind of sick to see, though, because he normally always paints everything.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to see him collab. Somebody else,
yeah, get colors on there.
Do you think he'll have a colorist? He said write and draw, so that could just mean...
Yeah, written and illustrated.
That'd be sick, though.
Yeah, so I'm interested in that.
So stoked.
Yeah. Marvel announces a brand new Venom series called Venom Lethal Protector that will be written by Venom co-creator David Michelinie that will be set near the time of Venom's first miniseries, which is also written by him.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I think that was pretty cool.
Marvel also announces a Captain Carter comic coming in March.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
I think that'll be fun. Probably off the back of What If stuff. And people being like, this is a cool idea.
Yeah, definitely. There was a comic called Surfside Girls that was bought to become a show for Apple TV. It's like a top shelf publications book. It's like a mystery YA comic.
So it's a comic becoming a TV show?
Yeah, it's going to be adapted.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah, we like that. I think there's only like two like graphic novels or something for it. Which seems like odd.
Surfside?
Surfside Girls.
Surfside Girls. Interesting.
And so I guess that was enough to be like, yeah, we can do something.
From Top Shelf?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a good publication.
Why the fuck is he barking?
He's so passionate about comic books, Daniel. I wish I kept recording for that. But everybody, Daniel just opened the door and yelled, hey, bitch, shut up. And it worked. You're such a good doggy parent.
Yeah, you know, my fiance gets a little loud sometimes.
So, just force of habit.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But Nathan, big news. Today news. Do you know the today news?
Tom King news?
Tom King news.
Yes, let's go to that.
Batman Killing Time.
Did you think he was off of Batman?
Yes.
Well, you're wrong, idiot.
I know. I feel real dumb.
Batman Killing Time by Tom King and Dave Marquez.
I know. 6-issue series coming March 1st.
And it's about
Catwoman.
Just action.
The Riddler.
Badassery.
Penguin.
There's a heist.
Pulling off the biggest heist ever.
You know more about this than I do.
I looked at the article.
Cool.
So
I'm really excited to see Dave Marquez doing Batman, but also Dave Marquez doing Batman with Tom King.
Tom King on a heist book? That sounds excellent. I love heist movies.
Where there's less feelings and more action?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
because he's very touchy-feely with Batman, with all of his work on Batman.
Yeah, but so this will be cool to be good old-fashioned fun time with Batman. It's called killing time, so he might be killing some people.
Just good old masculine testosterone fun.
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah, no estrogen here.
None to be found. Speaking of Batman, another new series announced, Batman / Superman, World's Finest, by Mark Waid and...
Oh, wow.
I really like... favorite artist of mine, Dan Mora. He did Klaus.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That, like, super cool artist. So I'm excited for that. But the first issue has a really sweet variant cover by Chip Zdarsky that references the slapping meme, and he slaps Superman instead of Robin. And I think it's really funny.
That's awesome. Is that going to be a variant?
Yeah, it's a variant.
I need it.
I'm going to try my absolute hardest to get that variant.
Why should it be a ratio variant?
It might be. And
like 1 in 100.
That would be totally fine. I'd pay $40 for that, and I'll frame it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's sick, though.
I like that a lot.
Mark Waid, what's the last thing Mark Waid did?
Last thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like he's been
recently
away.
He's been, he did like another Ant-Man and Wasp thing a couple years ago. I don't know what he's been doing recently, though.
I feel like
he's probably on something right now.
I feel like he's been on like Marvel for a bit.
Yeah.
And then
it's weird to see him in DC for sure.
I mean, he did Kingdom Come.
Well, like recently, I mean.
True. Very true.
What else we got? I think this was news already, but Netflix teams with legendary Sweet Tooth showrunner for fantasy movie God Country. Did we know that already?
Wait, I thought God Country was Donny Cates.
It is.
Didn't you say Sweet Tooth?
Teams with the Sweet Tooth showrunner. So the showrunner of that show is going to make a movie for God Country written by Donny Cates.
Did you finish that?
Yeah, that's a great book.
Is it like, it's just like a one graphic novel thing?
Yeah, and I shotgunned it. We were on a road trip going somewhere, I don't even remember where, and I read it all then.
California.
So, probably.
That's cool. Do you think it'd be good for a movie? Is it adaptable?
100% adaptable, yeah. Okay. I think this is a really good choice.
Nice.
Of thing to adapt.
And good for Donny Cates. I hope nothing but the best.
The script is going to be written by him as well, so that's cool.
That's sick. That's crazy.
So
that's good.
Can't wait to see that.
It seems like creators are never really involved in the... unless like they're a producer or whatever.
Yeah, like,
and that IP could just mean they're on set and they're like, all right, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Normally it does seem like the IP just gets scooped up and then they'll be like, yeah, this thing that you like, it's a movie now.
I don't doubt the fact that he can, you know, definitely write, but I hope that he, you know, gets some help with like someone.
I think he has experience
with someone who like adapts things for television or like movies.
Yeah.
Just bringing things for TV or for movies.
Yeah. Somebody
seems a little tricky sometimes, you know?
Another comic book announcement.
Oh my God, so many announcements. I'm already out of news.
Batman Beyond the White Knight. So the Sean Murphy verse.
Dang.
Going into Batman Beyond territory. So you want Terry? Check. You want bearded Bruce breaking out of prison? Check. You want more Robins? Check. Mullet Nightwing? Check. Closure on Jason Todd and the Joker stuff? Check. Whatever that is in his universe.
Pop quiz. You know what Terry's last name is?
McGinnis?
Good job, Nathan.
Thank you.
Just checking because I always forget.
Do you know what Spider-Man 2099's name is?
Oscar Isaac.
No.
Peter Parker.
Nope.
Peter Parker.
I actually don't know what it is, but I think it has Terry in it, which is why it reminded me. Hold on.
Scary Terry.
I think so.
I have consumed no 2099 content other than like Into the Spider-Verse or like Spider-Man Unlimited.
Oh, just kidding. It's Miguel O'Hara. I don't know why I thought it was Terry.
Miguel?
Yeah, that's Miguel. Cool. We should read one of those books. And I think that's...
The 2099 book?
Yeah. I think that's all for me. Keanu Reeves said he wanted to do a sequel to Constantine.
Oh, have you seen that? But they wouldn't let him.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Like, on God or...
I think it's good.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Whenever I think of old adaptations that happened in like the 2000s,
it's I'm
like,
think,
they're probably not that good.
Yeah, it's literally Sophia's favorite movie.
Favorite movie.
I asked her, like,
that's probably a good...
When we first started dating, I was like, what's your favorite movie? And she's like, Constantine. And I was like, what? And I hadn't seen the movie yet, so we watched it together. And I was like, yeah, it was pretty solid. It's weird that movie is someone's favorite movie, but... I love her all the same for it.
Yeah, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to watch it just because...
I had fun with it.
We'll okay. Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't like hold up or anything. Do you think at the time people would have considered it a good movie?
A little cheesy, but I think it's good. I mean, I think if you like demon stuff, perfectly good movie.
Do you think it's an accurate
You like
depiction.
Shia LaBeouf in the Shia LaBeouf era? Pretty good movie.
Shia LaBeouf's in it?
Yeah.
What, who is he?
He's Constantine's little helper boy. He drives a taxi.
Do you think it was a good depiction of John Constantine?
Yeah.
Other than the way he looks?
Other than the way he looks, yeah, I would say so. He's just kind of like pissy.
And he did spells and shit?
And he does a smoke. He does a spell. And he's like, fuck, I got to do the spell now because the demons are here. So I have to do the spell. And I didn't want to do the spell.
Fuck, I was hoping I wouldn't see any demons today, but it's my day off.
Must be a Monday. So yeah.
The demons are always coming on Mondays.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's all my news.
Okay, dang. Big news week.
I know.
Very exciting news.
Very exciting.
All good things.
So let's get into the book that we read this week, Daniel. Which was what?
It was Spider-Man. A couple more days and I'll have it done.
No, you get one more day.
Yeah, 24 hours.
Spider-Man, 24 hours more to,
24
to go.
24 hours is ticking.
Yep. One more sleep.
One last chance to save the world.
Yep. Spider-Man, One More Day. By J. Michael Straczynski, I think is how you say it.
I'm very impressed that you can pronounce that because I've always seen that shit. I'm like, oh, he does Spider-Man shit.
Yeah.
And then...
Straczynski? I'm going to look up pronunciation and see.
Straczynski? Yeah, probably. The C is probably silent because how the fuck do you put Z and a C together, you know? Straczynski? You know what's
better? Oh, shit, ad. No free ads. Hey, I got it right.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Maybe the C makes us sound...
Straczynski.
Yeah, you had it. With Joe Quesada.
With Joe Quesada, yeah.
Are we saying that correctly? I don't know.
Joe Quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Quesada. I'm pretty sure it's Quesada.
Joe Quesada also did the pencils.
He...
Inker is Danny Mickey and Joe Quesada.
Oh, shit.
Joe Quesada just did all of it. He probably basically didn't color, though.
He half-assed the writing and the inking part, but he went all in on pencils for sure.
Yep. Colorist Richard Isinov
with Dean White.
With Dean White. Letter and Chris
Eliopoulos. He's a really good cartoonist.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen his name before.
Yeah. So we're reading this because it's based on... This is what the new Spider-Man movie No Way Home is based on.
I think that's kind of a stretch.
Roughly.
It's pulling some things from this.
It does. And there's really interesting things.
Like one thing from this. But...
Yeah. But the idea behind the whole book is that editorially, they wanted to have Spider-Man not be married anymore, and they wanted his identity to be secret again. Because and it's right in the era where he had his secret identity uncovered, and he was married.
this is written another immediately Civil War after Civil era. War. Yeah, and I guess they thought it would be helpful if, Peter Parker revealed his identity on, like, live television,
yeah,
to get people to sign up for the Hero Registration Act or whatever.
Yeah, which is a great moment in that book.
Yeah, sure. I mean, does it make sense for him to do that? Did it seem like it was helpful? Not just Spider-Man be like, hey, sign up.
It was good because the main thing he's worried about is like protecting his family, and so Iron Man's like, I'll protect your family, and he's like, all right.
So why would he do it? Like, why is that advantageous?
So
revealing your identity.
You had to if you were to register. Like, you can't just register and be like, this Daredevil guy he's signed up now. I don't know who he is, but like, you have to reveal your identity as part of the Superhero Registration Act.
Oh, okay.
So that they can hold you accountable or whatever.
Mm.
So this book, it's interesting. It was published across Amazing Spider-Man 544, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 24, Sensational Spider-Man number 41, and then back to Amazing Spider-Man 545.
So fucking annoying.
They printed these four issues across three different series right,
smack dab in the middle of other books going
on. So I have no idea what was going on with those books for like that, like the issue before and the issue after, but this is all like definitely one big trade. Like, it doesn't feel like the story changes at all issue to issue.
Yeah.
So it's very strange. But anyway, we'll get into it. Let me get my notes up here.
Oh yeah.
So another post-Civil War era book. We've done like five of these in like the last 10 weeks or something.
So many.
I guess... It was just like a good time for comics then.
I think we just like the people that were writing at that time.
Yeah.
And then we just know about...
I think Marvel just had a lot of banger people on at that time.
Yeah, maybe it was just a better time. I don't know.
Yeah. Another post-Civil War era book. The dilemma here is that Peter, MJ, and Aunt May were on the run after Peter had revealed his identity for the Registration Act, but later turned on the idea. So he was for superhero registration, and then as things progressed in that Civil War book, he was like, nah, I don't want to be part of this anymore. So people are now after him and his family, and Aunt May took a bullet that was meant for Peter, leaving her in the hospital, which is where we kind of pick up here. But Peter doesn't have any money, like enough money on hand for it, or insurance that he can use, because it would reveal their real name. Like, they're still trying to keep it a secret.
Yeah, she's like under an alias.
Yeah.
And so you don't have insurance under the fake one.
Yeah, and they don't want to be revealed. So Aunt May is kind of put into like a charity care, where she's kind of like not priority, but she's like kind of bleeding out at the same time.
Right.
And we kind of see like a very pissed off and desperate Spider-Man here, which I think is kind of interesting. Like, he's definitely super stressed out this like entire book. He's not very quippy at all.
Oh yeah. It's not a funny book.
No, definitely not. So Peter decides to go to someone with lots of money, Iron Man, which is a little bit awkward because like Iron Man's like the person that led the Superhero Registration Act.
Uh-huh.
So he goes to Iron Man. They get in a big fight because Peter's like technically a criminal now, and Iron Man has to like detain him or whatever, and then Peter webs him up.
Okay, couple things.
Yeah.
Iron Man has like the evil Stark Tower here.
Does he again? Oh my god, you always notice it.
How do you fucking miss that?
I miss it every time.
It looks so evil.
It does. Why does it look so evil? I'm gonna look that up.
It's got
after
a beam
this,
of light at the top of it.
It looks like Hela lives there.
I know. The webs look super sick in this book.
Yeah, I was about to say, they look like fucking thick.
They look like ropes with like guitar strings wrapped around it.
I was about to say, it looks like guitar strings just spooled together. Like, I know. Those bitches are thick. And I think he's got like organic webs here.
Nothing against Joe Quesada, but there's some panels I want to point out throughout this book.
Yeah. So
look at this guy's face.
I agree. Yeah. I looked at that one and I was like, that's funky. I think Joe Quesada is not good at making people not look cool.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, he can only make someone look cool. If he tries to draw someone normal, he, like, tries a little bit too hard, I think.
The big character that comes out at the end of this looks so fucking sick.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. Looks great. All badass. We'll get to that, though.
Yeah. And Iron Man, I think he looks great in this big suit. And I think he looks good when he's, like, in his tower with a bunch of red screens or whatever.
Look at this one.
Yeah, I saw that one too, and I'm like, he's trying like a little bit too hard on the face.
His eyes,
I think,
look like Schmeagle eyes.
Yeah,
they're so big.
They're big old anime eyes, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. He's looking kind of cute, you know.
Yeah. So they tussle for a little bit. Spider-Man webs him up, and Tony's like, "Look, I can't give you any money without compromising like what I built with this Registration Act." So Tony like lets Peter go to be with his aunt, like out of respect, but after that, he sends Jarvis out with like a giant check to get Aunt May at least into some like better care, so she's not in like charity care anymore. Mm-hmm. So he still got a little bit of heart and empathy from there. They mentioned that Jarvis is like Aunt May's cousin or something.
I think it was a lie in order to get it covered or whatever.
Yeah, I think he had to like sell it for the doctor. But for a minute there, I was like, "Is that canon?"
Yeah, no, I don't think so. There's a cool bit where like there's like a doctor involved saying like, "Oh, we got to move her to the charity thing."
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like Spider-Man saved the doctor's like uncle at one point.
Yeah.
And knows who like Spider-Man is. He's like, "I'll try and stall as like as long as possible."
Yeah.
But you have to like find a way to pay for this.
Yeah. I thought that was a cool moment. He like keeps it hush hush. Like, he recognizes Peter Parker because he probably saw on the news like Spider-Man reveals his identity.
Yeah. He had the paper.
Yeah. He's like, "I kept this. I framed it."
Dude, look how big Spider-Man's hands look in this.
They look like mitts, don't they?
He's got some mitts on right now.
You know what they say about big hands?
Big gloves.
Lots of organic webs.
Yeah,
in there.
Big webs. He's got too many webs in his hands.
Yeah, no wonder his webs are so fucking thick.
He's got to fling off.
It's crazy.
It was a cool moment when he's, you know, up against Stark, and Stark like blinds him, and he just like lets loose all the webs that he has.
Yeah.
And just like wraps him up in a cocoon.
It's like in Valorant when you get flashed and then you can't see anything, so you just start shooting randomly and you hit him.
I don't think that's like exclusive to Valorant. I think a flashbang in any first person shooter.
Yeah, Call of Duty if you want.
Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, so they get Aunt May into, you know, good care, not the charity care anymore. And the doctor explains that at May's age, there's really no coming back from like an injury like this, but like no matter the level of care that she gets. But Peter is convinced that he can find someone, so he swings off in his Spider-Man suit to go find somebody.
Nathan.
And we finally see him in a Spider-Man suit, and he looks fucking incredible.
This is a great page.
Except
he's got these feet.
Big old fucking feet. He's got flippers for feet, dude.
He's got these heels that look like he's wearing like some Adidas under there.
He's got a whole ass dorsal fin for feet.
I know. It's like you don't know which way the feet are pointed because of how
he's like an ostrich.
How far back these heels go. Yeah. And it's so. This is probably why.
This is why the shtick for feet. Like Rob Liefeld
doesn't draw feet because it comes out like this.
Yeah. He must have known that was like he was just half-assing this part. It looks like he's grabbing his own foot here. Just
it looks
the way
like
that
a
it's like framed.
Yeah, it looks like he's got his mask in his hand.
Yeah, it does.
It looks like a fucking
like
lamppost, like right here on this lamp.
There's
like the stand.
There's no definition. Like he just drew a big oval and he's like, this will do. But yeah, I noticed that immediately. I was like, look at these fucking.
I was like,
flippers.
I got to bring this shit up. Everything else looks great.
Everything else bar that, incredible. Some of the best Spider-Man to ever be drawn, I think. But yeah, those feet, a bit crazy.
There's something else.
So issue 2, Spider-Man needs a miracle beyond science. So he goes naturally to Doctor Strange for help. And Strange tries to convince him that it might just be her time. Like maybe you won't be able to do anything. But Peter doesn't want it to end like that because he feels like it'll be his fault for like the gunshot wouldn't even happen.
Doctor Strange's cape in this is so sick.
I was about to say he's
in that like, first reveal of him.
Quesada's drawing fucking Doctor Strange like he's Spawn.
I know. It's a Spawn cape for sure.
It's a 100% Spawn cape. Like it's super exaggerated and goes like 20 feet long.
There's no way he just walks around with that.
Yeah. That would be a.
Looks like a goddamn wedding dress.
Yeah. He'd be like tripping over himself trying to do some magic.
Mm hmm.
So yeah, he looks super cool though, and I really like how like the whole design of the page changes like when we're in the presence of Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
like the panel borders change colors and they have like additional like mystic designs and shit like that, and mm-hmm. I think that's a really cool effect.
Oh yeah,
because it's just he's just in the Sanctum Sanctorum doing his magic shit. So Strange helps Spider-Man with like a spell that splits him into multiple Spider-Men in this timeline so that he can request the help of lots of people at the same time, and he finds out that none of them can help. So the spell splits him up and he goes to talk to like Mr. Fantastic, Dr. Doom, Beast, Hank Pym I think is there, a couple different people. I think Morbius is there at one point.
Surely these people can help with a gunshot wound, but
like she's kind of old, you know.
I guess
so. I think that's like the main complication.
There's so many things that people have come back from that are so much worse.
I don't.
So
true.
It just makes this like a little unbelievable. But anyway.
I want to know what his thought process was for talking to Michael Morbius. Like, is he like, can you make her like a vampire so that she just like won't die?
Maybe.
I think that'd be kind of a cool storyline.
That wouldn't be a bad option.
Yeah. Or like he goes to the night nurse and he's like, please, I'm desperate.
I know that
I already
everyone
went to Mr.
you've
Fantastic.
Helped has been shot.
Yeah.
How did they survive?
How do you normally do this?
Yeah.
There's like an Allred character here too, I think. Like,
is it Madman?
No. He's not in the Marvel Universe, to my knowledge. I think it's this character.
Isn't that Storm?
I don't think so. Why would he go to Storm?
I don't know.
So yeah, I really like this.
She's got like the white eyes. That's Storm, I think. And then there's like, there's whooshes behind her.
I think it's like one of the Allred characters just based off of like the X-Statics logo.
Oh, that's not X-Men?
Well, like, yes, but no. It's like one of the teams of X-Men.
Oh.
So, yeah. I really do like this double page spread, though, because, like, we see a bunch of Spider-Man just kind of, like, jumping off and going to do their own thing. And
this would be hard to draw.
Super mystic and, yeah, crazy. And then we get another Spawn cape from Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool, though. Like, Quesada's definitely, like, elite tier artist.
Definitely.
So Spider-Man is like still not convinced that his magic can't help. So Spider-Man takes control of whatever magic hands or whatever that Doctor Strange was using. And then he shoots
the hands of the dead.
The hands of the dead. And he shoots his own spirit to the past right before Aunt May was shot. And Spirit Spidey tries to warn anyone at all, but he's not able to like get through to anybody. And he's not able to stop the shot. So he just kind of like experiences the whole thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Strange has to save Spirit Spidey from, like, these time monsters that protect Destiny or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he has to, like, heal him before returning him to the physical world. And it's here that Strange has, like, a brief conversation with, like, a past Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So this part's, like, a little bit weird. I don't know, like, how necessary it was. Like, it feels like this whole book, the pacing of it was Like, you could cut some of the fat out, but I think they wanted some of these, like, special character moments in there.
Sure.
And I think that that part, like, alone was pretty cool. Because I think each of these issues is, like, 30 pages or something.
I think it was pretty normal, like, 25 maybe.
Okay.
But, yeah, you could have had it into, like, 3 issues and it'd been, like...
Really rushed.
Maybe. Maybe, like, just perfect, you know? Nothing that was, like, filler, I guess.
Yeah. Like, this is kind of like filler. Like, I like this... This idea that Doctor Strange and Spider-Man have had this conversation like in a different issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had read that, you'd be like, holy shit, he was actually, Doctor Strange was doing this shit.
He's talking to but it doesn't future matter, Spider-Man.
But it doesn't like matter ultimately all that much.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of fun though.
It is fun because I'm like, oh shit, they must have planned that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Probably not. It's kind of like, you know how the before Watchmen shit fits like pretty good into the Watchmen universe.
True.
There's just like space to like fill, and that's how like all those books are made basically.
Yeah, true.
I think there was intentionally a lot of stuff left open to interpretation or like imagination, and that's also how that worked.
In Watchmen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I agree. Lots of good stories have a lot unsaid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, I hate when like everything's explained.
Yeah,
especially it's like, if like not all of it is that interesting.
No, yeah, like you could just have like an alien on screen, not explain what his whole species is about. You know?
Yeah, you remember like when we did? I just listened to this episode, the Umbrella Academy one. How the dad or whatever was just like an alien.
Yeah,
and they just like never talk about it again. They're like, oh, this guy's an alien, series? By the way. Yeah, no, I mean I haven't finished the series, but like it hasn't come up in the show. Like,
I think that you know deserves a little bit of explaining.
What is his name? Reginald or something?
Reginald Hargreave.
Reginald Hargreave. You're so smart, Nathan.
I just know that name because it just sounds fancy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's if a fancy sounding name.
If I ever wanted to impersonate a smart, fancy person, Reginald Hargreave.
If I ever had to name a cute dog, it would be Reginald.
That's a good name.
Or, and I thought about this.
Terror.
No. I really want like a St. Bernard. I think those are really cute dogs. Big dogs.
I have to look it up, but okay.
And I want to name him Bernie. Because I think that's a cute name.
Like actually Bernard?
It's called Saint Bernard is the breed.
Oh, these are big old boys.
Yeah, the big bear boys. And they're always so mellow and cute.
Dude, these things...
Let me see.
Weigh as much as like humans.
Let me see. Which one are you looking at?
No, just like...
Yeah, okay, yeah, those guys. I wanted to make sure I didn't get the breed wrong. But yeah, if I ever had the opportunity to have one, I would just name him Bernie. Because I think that'd be a really good name for that breed of dog.
I think it's a cop out, Nathan.
No,
it shows no creativity.
If I had a,
you might as well just name him Max.
If I had a husky, I would name him Glacier. I think that's cool because like Snowball, that's obvious.
Ghost,
get out of here. I want a cool one that's also snowy themed, and I've never seen a dog named Glacier, and I think it's a good name.
Abominable Snowman,
come here, Abominable.
Come, Abby.
Abby, yeah, that'd be good. So anyway, Spider-Man, they return back to the physical world, and Strange is like, listen, the only thing you can do right now is just go be with her, because if she like died right now, that'd be kind of awkward. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, that'd be shitty.
That'd be shitty. You should be there. So Peter leaves, and then on his way out, he's greeted by a vaguely familiar looking little girl that says that she can help.
I thought this was like a superhero I didn't know about.
I thought it was too. I was looking at her for like a minute or two, and I was like, who the fuck is this? And it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's rate how Joe Quesada draws little children.
Okay.
1 to 10. I'd say this is about a 6.5.
I would maybe say like 7. The face looks way too adult for me.
It does, yeah.
And like the shape of the head.
The shape.
Fully grown adult
head. Everything else but the face I think is pretty good though.
Yeah, the proportions, like body wise, I didn't really look that closely in the next issue, but other than that.
In the next issue, it's actually pretty good because she's got chubbier cheeks and I'm like, okay, I could work with that. But like look this at this first issue.
Look at this cover, dude. That's like a crackhead.
That, yeah. Adult. That's some gas station girl right there. That's, yeah.
Dude, there are these like people yesterday when I went to the gas station. They're just, I don't know if they're friends of the cashier or something, but it's these three people that were just standing by the cashier talking to everybody that was checking out.
Okay.
And they were talking to the dude in front of me, just asking how old he is and stuff like that. And I like walk up, I'm like, what the fuck are they going to say to me? And like, because I just know that's like what they're there for.
You have to prepare to be social.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of the guys is like, do any of your tattoos have titties? And I'm like, actually? Oh. Yes. And it was kind of a funny.
Which one? Is it on your arm?
Yeah, this angel right here has some cleavage.
She do have some titty.
Sarah was very upset. She's like,
really?
You got some other girl's titties tattooed on you? I'm like, it's an angel.
It's art, okay? You don't understand.
Yeah. And he's like, and then like the dude was like, so no naked titties? I'm like, no, sorry.
If you get a Sharpie though.
Yeah, yeah. It was just weird that's where they chose to like hang out.
Yeah, that is strange.
You know, but anyway.
So issue 3.
There are some panels that are better than others, but I think a 7 is correct.
Yeah, about a 7. Because sometimes, I think typically when artists that are used to drawing like superheroes, when they draw children, they just like erase some of the features of the face.
And yeah, so like sometimes, wrinkles and stuff.
So like this first double page spread, her face is like 5 lines, 6 lines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... I mean, I you know, it works enough. Yeah, I know that she's a child, but
would
I like
you call
to,
the segment like Kid Check or something?
Kid Check? I don't think so. I would have came up with a better name.
We'll think of one.
Children Check. We're going to be on a list somewhere.
I know.
All right. So issue 3, the girl takes Peter on a walk through New York, telling him about her parents, but also how selfish Peter is, which is a little bit surreal because like how does this person know who Peter or Spider-Man is. But they kind of go on a walk through New York in like a neighborhood, and Peter's like also greeted by another dude who's like sitting on a bench, who's very cynical of the world and has resorted to books and video games because he has no control of the real world, but he has control over these like fictional worlds, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He has like that he has to deal with. But then like as he's dealing with that, he's like, I should probably go. He gets picked up by like a super rich dude in a car, and this
Rolls Royce, Nathan.
Rolls Royce. And this guy put all of his life into inventing and patent selling to make him rich. But he's also sad because he never got the girl kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rich guy takes him to this random spot. And there's a girl there who says that.
It's like a lady.
A lady. Yeah, a lady who says that all the people that he's met are like dream versions of himself that were not bitten by the spider, but are realities that were possible.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that that's
the universe, Peter Parker's.
Basically, yeah. And I think that's a pretty cool, like, representation, or, like, that's a cool way to do that.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, actually meeting and interacting with versions of himself, and he's like, these guys are fucking weird kind of deal.
Yeah. They didn't tell us who the girl was, though.
They don't. He even asked, he's like,
what about the girl?
How did I turn into a little girl? And so this mysterious red-dressed woman is like, I don't even worry about that.
Oh, hold on one sec. On page 57, he got some odd-looking booty cheeks, wouldn't you say?
I didn't think so at the time.
They're a little lopsided.
And I don't think so right now. I don't really know what you're talking about.
I think, I don't know, his thigh gap just looks like a bit too much. And look, this one, like,
I guess.
The right one just comes down a lot farther.
I think he's just, like, standing at an angle because, like, his leg is kind of off at an angle. So that would mean that one cheek is higher than another cheek.
I suppose. Just some weird booty cheeks to me.
I didn't think so. He's got hella hamstrings, though.
Not very round. Yeah, I'd love to have those.
I like his musculature. Anyway, mysterious red woman. She's like, ah, don't worry about the girl. You won't even be able to understand. But she reveals herself to be our boy, Daniel.
The one and only. None other than.
The master of the MCU, Mephisto.
Mephisto. Finally, we see him in a book.
Mephisto, yeah.
The person that everyone thinks is behind every movie and show.
Yeah, Mephisto, he's finally here.
I hope he never shows up, honestly.
I know.
But
he's the at this point, he's like the Darth Sidious of the MCU.
Yeah.
But it's not real.
Exactly. That's just the easy answer, Nathan.
Yeah, it is. But Mephisto guarantees that he can save Aunt May's life, but not with a soul, because he doesn't transact in souls anymore. He's like, that's boring. He wants something even bigger. That would create misery for him. And so Mephisto even brings in MJ, who is like also talking with Mephisto at the same time about the same bargain. So Mephisto reveals that he wants to take away their whole ass marriage.
He wants their love, Nathan.
He wants their love. And so their marriage. So that they don't even remember the life that they've lived up to this point. And they have one day to decide. One more day.
Mm-hmm. Mephisto is drawn so fucking cool.
There's no one that could ever draw a cooler Mephisto.
No, there's no way.
This is easily
top
like...
top tier Mephisto. I haven't even seen that many pictures of Mephisto, but this is it.
I don't care about Mephisto, but I care about this Mephisto.
That's very true.
Yeah. Haven't we seen Mephisto in a book before?
Oh, he was in fucking Iron Fist.
Oh, the shitty Iron Fist one.
Was he in the shitty Iron Fist?
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's been a couple times where characters have been to hell and had to get back. I think it was, yeah, it was definitely the Iron Fist one.
Okay, I don't remember, but.
But this Mephisto is really cool. Like, he's just, like, super skinny, so you could see, like, his, like, muscles. His, like, muscle tissue almost.
He's got a sick cape.
Yeah, sick cape, and just, like, every.
He's absolutely shredded, yeah.
Just, his, like,
hair looks great.
The composition, every time we see Mephisto, like, the way that he's posed and everything is, like, really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shout out Joe Quesada for making a good Mephisto. I thought it was funny, though, at first that, like, Mephisto's, like, cross-dressing, and you're like, who is this? And then turns into Mephisto. He's just,
it's this guy's Nathan.
Yeah, and it there's a reason for it later. But
the lady obviously didn't even look like Mephisto. Like, he was obviously in disguise.
But she was super red, and so I'm like,
she had a red dress on.
I forgot that this was, like, Mephisto as I was reading it. Like, I know we read it. Like, I knew about this story when, like, the Spider-Man trailer came out, because people were like, oh, it's based off this book with Mephisto.
Oh, like, I didn't know that. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was honestly a shock to me. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. And as soon as, like, Mephisto was like, I want your marriage, I was like, oh, this is, like, an editorial thing. I forgot. So.
What do you mean?
Because, like, they didn't want Spider-Man to be married anymore. So he's like, how do we get his identity a secret again and not married?
Yeah, hunkered down Spider-Man is not fun.
Yeah. The old ball and chain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, last issue 4, this is now, like, a decision that's, like, on the both of them, both Peter Parker and MJ. MJ brings up that, you know, May's led a pretty good life so far. Like, is this really all worth it kind of deal?
Yeah.
And then Peter's like, I would feel way too guilty if she died, which I think is, like...
Because, like, she wasn't supposed to get shot. Like, they're aiming for Parker.
Yeah.
And she just happened to be near the window.
If she dies, it is on Parker.
He got out of the way and saved MJ, but then May got shot in, like, the hip or whatever.
It's just a shitty situation.
So it's something where she shouldn't have died, and it is his fault.
Yeah, but, like, if you have an old car and you hit a tree, and, like, you could probably fix it, but, like, is it really going to run that well after? It's probably not equivalent to
if you make a deal with the devil, then it will, yes. Oh,
true.
Yeah. But what if it's a classic, Nathan?
Oh, true.
Only 10 made or whatever, or 10 left in existence.
Yeah, true.
That you got to restore those cars.
It's definitely not equivalent to, like, have material things compared to a human life, but that's how I see it. I'm like, even if she is, like, completely back to how she was before she got shot, she's got, like, 10 years, 20 years maybe. But anyway, so yeah.
Random thing, he draws really good sheets.
Like, dude, I was thinking the same thing. Like, Peter,
like, Spider-Man wakes up in a bed or something somewhere.
Fully suited.
Fully suited, and there's these sheets and pillows, and they look great. Wrinkles.
Yeah.
A lot of wrinkles.
Very well rendered.
I feel like that's, like, the hardest thing to do, but...
He, like...
It looks really good.
Seamless.
And it's like someone went into a bed, and he took a picture of it for reference, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Looks good.
I also think he, like, plays very well with, like, shadows. Like, this is a very shadowy issue, because it's like there's a very dark decision that they have to make, right?
Yeah, the whole thing is, like, black, and then there's stuff in the forefront.
Basically just in a black room. It's like if it's nighttime and you're in a room that's painted black. That's what this issue looks like.
I like Spider-Man's face here.
That's good. Like, what emotion is that?
It's like I just got punched in the face and I'm drunk already.
When do you ever make this face naturally?
Yeah, never.
Like, you're showing all your teeth but showing concern. But anyway, yeah, Peter's like, I would feel way too guilty letting May die like this. Like, if she had a heart attack, then fuck her.
That's one thing.
Yeah. And then fuck her. But MJ realizes what decision they're ultimately going to make, and so they kind of, like, collapse into each other's arms on the floor, and they stay like that for the whole day. And it's kind of like a strange sequence.
Oh, that's what's happening. I thought the colors are just changing for no reason.
No. So, like, they wake up, it's the morning. They realize, oh, I guess we're going to not be married tomorrow because we're going to make this deal with the devil. So they collapse on the floor. And I think this single page, like the splash page, is really, really cool, really good.
Yeah.
And then they do 12 consecutive panels that are the exact same.
No, Nathan, 15.
15, yeah. You're right.
Because it goes on to the next page.
And it's just like a close-up.
This is some, like, Robert Kirkman shit.
This is. But, like, do you think anybody's ever gotten away with just using the same panel 15 times in a row?
Like, there's, I won't let it happen.
There's slight changes. Like, you can see.
It's just the coloring, dude.
No. Like, in the one where they speak, you can see their teeth, which you can't normally.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the last panel of the 15-page sequence where she's, like, putting her hand up to his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I thought that was...
I was doing the guided view. I'm like, what the fuck?
Just scrolling super fast. Yeah. Like, it's a good scene, I think. Like, when you're looking at it, like, completely like that, you're like, oh, the sun's coming and going.
Yeah,
and they're so, just like sitting here the whole time. Like they
I wasn't sure why the colors were changing, but I guess that makes sense.
Like they didn't eat at all, you know?
Yeah, didn't poop.
Didn't go pee. Peter Parker wasn't like, you want like Chipotle or something, or mm-hmm. we're just gonna keep doing this. So yeah. It's nighttime now because they sat on the floor all day and they decide that the answer is going to be yes. And so Mephisto comes up and they're like, how does this all work? And how is it gonna save May from like being shot? Because if we take our marriage away, the same dilemma happens because his identity is still out. People are still going to hunt his family. So Mephisto's like, we'll keep your identity a secret again as long as I can get the marriage. And that's just like...
No. So like, he didn't care about the identity thing, Mephisto. Yeah. And so like, MJ is like, no, you need to change it back and I can give you something that you want. And like whispers in his ear.
Whatever that was.
And then he's like, all right, deal. And so... He gets his identity restored or whatever.
Yeah. So it's all happening.
That, do you know what that is? What she whispered?
No idea.
I guess maybe it's she gets the soul or he gets the soul. And
maybe her soul too. I don't know. I have no idea. But
need it explained.
So the deal is sealed and Mephisto is like doing his magic things and there's magic going on around. But he kind of taunts them a little bit. A
lot of swooshing around.
Yeah. He taunts them and he's like the little girl from before. That was the future child that you'd have had together.
Mm-hmm.
And Parker's like, oh no. And then Mephisto's like, there's no take backsies. You've already done it.
You son of a bitch.
No take backsies in this deal. And so MJ and Peter Parker say their last goodbyes to each other. They do a kiss.
MJ thinks they'll come back. There's some crying. We'll find each other. Yeah, love is too strong.
I guess that's like a condition. Like they could fall in love again, I guess, if they get lucky.
Yeah, it's possible. They got to leave it open.
They have to, yeah. Which I think is really smart. But it's also a really nice thing to read here. You know, so they say their last goodbyes and they do their last face at Tiger. You've hit the jackpot before it's all like erased.
Get little flashbacks.
I love
montage.
Yeah, the flashback montage is really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't recognize a lot of these moments, but you see them getting married. There's one with
Spider-Man watching TV.
Yeah, that's a great moment. You know, there's one with Spider-Man in the black suit.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. But yeah, it's all erased now. So. Peter wakes up. He goes downstairs to Aunt May. She's not shot.
For some reason, she calls him Tiger. And for a second, you think it's MJ.
But no, I didn't think that at all. I think it was just like...
I think they meant to make it seem like it was MJ, but it wasn't. And it makes me very uncomfortable that Aunt May called Peter Parker Tiger.
I guess I didn't see it that way. But I could see how you would see it that way.
And then he's really loving up on Aunt May. You would never...
A little kiss on the cheek?
From behind? Love it.
From behind, that's a bit weird, yeah. angle at which he's approaching this.
I would not do that to any aunt or anybody.
The angle that this smooch came from is not ideal. I agree. But yeah, Aunt May's there. She's healthy. Peter Parker goes to a party for Harry Osborn, and MJ is there, but they don't interact like at all.
Real quick, Joe Quesada does like really sickly architecture. I don't know if this is like a picture or something.
Yeah.
But this looks dope when he's like just on cycling on a bridge.
He does like dope cityscapes too. Like I've seen some of his Daredevil stuff. It's like Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Super cool.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of his architecture stuff is really cool.
Yes. I feel like that's so hard, but yeah, he does good.
Yeah. And they go to Harry Osborn's surprise party, whatever. MJ's there. I think that's like where they first met initially in like canon.
Maybe.
For some sort of party. Where she says, face the tiger, you hit the jackpot or whatever.
Oh.
But Peter just kind of continues on like with his mundane life or whatever. And then MJ leaves the party and that's about it, really.
Yeah, it just ends in like a cheers, whatever.
We see
Harry's got his waves.
His side cornrows.
They're waves, Nathan.
The horizontal
waves.
He's got waves.
He's got do-rags for days.
He's got a killer widow's peak. That's like the whole top of his head is just all widow's peak.
Yeah, and he looks like a Vegeta.
Kind of does.
But his widow's peak is like a triangle though, and it's very weird.
It's like a widow's pyramid. Like that shit ain't just a peak.
Yeah.
So yeah. And they're not together anymore, and that's it. That's the whole story. Very sad, but you know, he ain't tethered down anymore. Or the old ball and chain?
Nope. Do we do the rating before or after Back Matter Matters?
Let's just do it now.
What would you rate this, Nathan?
I liked it.
I liked it, yeah. There's a like it with some Reese's.
This is a good way to retcon, but they can't just like keep using Mephisto, you know?
When it came down to it, it seemed like that was the only option.
It was the only option. I think they did a good job making this justified.
Yeah.
I think. Like, I'm sure some people were like, what the hell, you fucked up his marriage? I'm sure like no one was mad about Peter having a secret identity back, you know? Uh-huh. But maybe some people were attached to the marriage.
Attached to them, him being married to MJ?
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not the majority of readers, but I think, you know, you have to recognize that you can't just have... Your character has to keep evolving and facing these problems, you know, so...
Yeah, it seems odd that... Like, I know, like, the movie won't pull that much from this.
No.
But it seems odd that this would be something that they'd pull from, I guess. Like, this isn't, like, considered, like, you know, a need-to-read kind of thing for comic readers or anything like that. It's just kind of a checkpoint in, like, the Spider-Man's Marvel history. Universe. Yeah, and his history and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
I would rate it, like, an I like it.
I liked it.
They did the best that I think they possibly could for what they were trying to do with Spider-Man as a character.
Yeah. There was just like, you know, a couple of panels I thought looked funky. But other than that, I thought the pacing was well.
Spider-Man's drawn very well.
Yeah. Really, really good drawings, honestly.
I want to see a joke as how to like Doctor Strange story.
What? An Amazing Spider-Man? Or no, did he do Doctor Strange?
I just want to see Joe Quesada do Doctor Strange. I don't know if he has or if he hasn't, but I think he drew Doctor Strange in some of the coolest ways. So
yeah, just making him spawn.
Yeah, basically.
But anyway.
So what do you rate it?
Yeah, I like it. We'll do like what's that? The caramel brulee? Is that a flavor? Or caramel?
Sure.
It's caramel something.
From where? Cold Stone?
Cold Stone, yeah. Oh, okay. Doing it like it. But with all some Reese's in there, that's it.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
So we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. So we got an afterword from Stan Lee.
Did you read this?
No, did you?
Yeah, I did. It's actually very cool to see because I think it was Stan Lee that wedded them initially or something like that. But okay. He basically, like, it's a really great afterword where Stan the man Lee himself was like, he loves just like seeing his character go through different challenges because that's what you need to do, you know? And he has got a lot of love for JMS, J. Michael Straczynski, and Joe Quesada. So it's a really nice like message, I think.
Nice.
Overall. And he's like, for the future, you know, who knows what it holds? Like, what are the star-crossed lovers going to stay apart? Or are they going to come back together? You know, he like makes it very exciting, you know, to be a Spider-Man fan. He's good at marketing, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he congratulates the whole creative team and everything. So it's very nice. We have weird character variants.
Yeah, dude. I don't even know who did these.
They're just like, I don't know who did them either. Like
this first one's cool.
The first one's cool and the last one's cool. The other ones, I'm just like, they're just kind of standing there, I guess.
Yeah, we just got like MJ standing. Who the fuck is that? It's supposed to be Peter Parker?
They're good paintings. I think that is supposed to be Peter Parker.
Whose signature is that? Do you know?
I don't. I can't even read it. It's like doctor script.
It looks like...
It might be Quesada.
It looks like someone threw a pencil and that was the signature. okay. So, yeah, it's a little odd. The Mephisto one even looks kind of funky. Because his hair's not as long.
He's got that James Gunn hair.
Yeah, he's got James Gunn hair.
That's funny.
Who does that look like to you?
The artist?
No, Mephisto. Like the variant. Like, who does that drawing look like to you?
Who does that drawing look like to me? Like, who do I think did the variant?
No, Nathan. Look at Mephisto. Who does he look like?
Mephisto? I don't think he looks like anybody in particular. Who do you think he looks like?
No. I was. He looks familiar, but I'm not sure who.
No, I don't know.
But because it could be like a fan casting, you know.
Maybe.
But yeah, he looks a little odd there as well. Then, it looks good, but like he looks lanky.
Yeah, and then we have the Joe Quesada covers. I assume the main covers, which they're all pretty solid.
I like his crotch in that first one.
Yeah, he's got his bulge kind of out.
Yeah,
he's webbed up in his own webs. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
You know, I guess shit happens sometimes. I like the third to last one and the very last one. Like, I just think that the ideas presented in this cover and these covers are really cool.
The last one is cool. What's the third to last one?
The second to last one. This one. where he's like webbing and then he sees like the different versions of himself or whatever. The little girl does look like a crackhead. I agree with you there, but I like
the ideas. But yeah, the last one is cool, like how it's like a picture of them hugging and then it's like
shattered torn. And then the little piece of it's out and good stuff. And then there's quotes from multiple people, lots of big names. We got a Brian Bendis one. He's like, this is the greatest thing I've ever fucking seen. But the really interesting one is that we get one from Kevin Feige.
Yeah, I know.
And
did you read these?
I read the Brian Michael Bendis one and the Kevin Feige one because I was like, this is interesting. And he was basically saying, like, I read comics as much as I can, especially for characters that we're developing movies for. And so he said, I usually get my pile of need to read based on what films we're working on and whatever. But for this one, I would sit and read it the moment it landed in my inbox. And he said that Joe's creative daring is an inspiration and his imaginative storytelling transcends all forms of media. My favorite JMS Spidey moment also happens to be my favorite Spidey moment, period. Aunt May discovers Peter's secret. It has become my mission to put that moment up on screen, and someday we will, I promise.
And he did.
Yeah, it did. Which is kind of crazy that like he's got a like, quote in here.
It was just like an after.
It was like a 3 second scene.
Yeah. He's like, we're going to do it. It's my favorite scene.
Yeah, there's another Stan Lee thing. But we got like Mark Miller. We got
Jeff Loeb.
JRJR. So lots of people saying good things about this
book. Who's Harlan Ellison?
No idea.
Okay. And then the back page. Cover.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's it.
Not that much back matter. But I like the afterword from Stan Lee. And I thought it was weird that Kevin Feige did like a quote. But it's cool to see at the same time.
Yeah, it's whatever.
So yeah, that's the book.
Show is.
Good stuff. Yeah, I can definitely see how they're going to pull just like the general idea.
I think it was just like the part where, you know, Doctor Strange is doing something. And yeah. That's about it.
Well, because like he doesn't want his identity. He doesn't have that goal in mind with like his identity when he's going to find somebody to like help.
Yeah, he just wants to save.
I thought that was going to be like the point of this book where he's like, I should just go back in time and like never do that. And then none of this will happen. But it just kind of happens like.
Just kind of thrown in the bundle.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, so I can see how they pulled that for the No Way Home movie. Just that idea of like, I need to fix something and I need some magic to fix it. Kind of deal. So yeah, I'm excited for the movie. I've been super jazzed for it lately, actually.
I'm more excited about it than I am for Christmas.
Exactly. So let's get into the poll list, Daniel.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box? Indeed. What did you pick up?
Well, I was going to pick up a spinner rack, but I guess I didn't have any. I picked up Berserker number 6. I picked up 2 covers because Sophia also reads the book.
Actually.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I always pick up 2 different covers and I let her pick which cover she wants. But this time I really wanted one particular cover. Mm-hmm. So I kept that one. I was like, you're getting this one.
Why wouldn't you just like buy one and then you both read it?
Because she wants her own and I want her to embrace that.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I picked up Newburn number 2.
Yep.
Tuburn. I picked up Hulk number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Same. Excited for that. And then I picked up Primordial number 4. And I also picked up number 3 because I missed it.
What covers did you get?
I got the All Red one.
Me too. Isn't it sick?
Yeah. It was the first one I saw and I was like, All Red? Hell yeah. Let's get it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sick. There's an All Red cover. And then like I didn't even see the signature anywhere, but I'm like, this has to be him.
I know. That's there.
I found it. Yeah.
It's hidden amongst the like meteorites or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, super, super excited for all these books.
Nathan, did you not get Robin and Batman number 2?
I didn't because I haven't read the first one and I don't want to commit to another series.
There's only 3.
I know, Daniel, but I'm already behind on.
Nathan, do you know who writes it?
Jeff Lemire. Do you know
who draws it?
Jeff, the best Lemire.
Do you know who draws it?
Dustin Nguyen.
I know. What kind of...
I haven't picked up his shit in years, Daniel. Why would you
skip on it?
I haven't read Ascender. What are you talking about?
Or Descender.
Or Descender.
Yeah, so I got all those things. I also got Star Wars High Republic 12. I don't know when that book's going to stop. I don't know when I'm going to catch up.
When are you going to start reading it?
I've started it. When we did the manga.
Oh, okay.
I got like kind of far on it.
Sweet.
So I got all the same things.
That's good. What did you read this week?
Ooh, what did I read? I read Clear, number 2.
Nice.
Did you get to that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah. Where he gets, like, killed at the end?
Yeah. pretty spicy.
I'm like, wow, it's done already. so many unanswered questions. The only way he can come back from this.
The only way
he got fucking lit up.
The only way you can get Francis Manipul on is like, you just have to do two.
Yeah, you have to kill him at the end of two. That's it. Everyone's gonna be pissed.
Can you imagine? Like, the only way you can make that work is a Comixology exclusive, because if it was in print, it would be on like solicitations and people would be like, where's Clear Three?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I read the book Faster by Jessenyi Lonergan that you lent to me last week. I wanted to make sure I got back to you as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And so I just read that.
Pretty fun.
Good stuff. Very, very fun. It looked good.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
It wasn't as like crazy of like a story as like Planet Paradise, because it's like not sci-fi, but you could tell that he likes racing.
But it is like kind of sci-fi. You know what I mean?
How?
So there's like a print that comes with it that has like the character that gets in like an accident.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was
leaves
like,
it open. Yeah. For like, yeah.
And so I saw that print. I'm like, oh, she's got like a robot arm. And so I saw the print first and then read it.
Dude, I read it and then I saw the print and I was like, oh shit.
Oh no, I saw the print. I'm like, oh, it's just gonna be cool.
Because I thought this was just like a board.
Yeah.
For comics, but yeah. Cool.
But yeah, it's good. Looks great. Anyway, yeah. I like the cardstock that it was printed on.
Yeah.
I was being very careful with it because I didn't want to like bend it or anything.
I liked how he opened the series. Because remember that part where there's like each of the letters of Faster on like a different page?
Yeah.
So it was like F. And it was like, I just remember like, I just imagine.
Yeah, I am speed.
The beginning of Cars. Like he does that in like a comic book format. It's so funny.
Yeah. That's probably exactly what he was thinking about.
Yeah. Because that's a great way to open a book. You're like, yeah, Fast Cars, I love it.
And Nathan, I was so excited about the books that I got this week. I read some of them. I read Hulk 2.
Oh.
There's a thing in there that is really funny that I'm excited for you to see.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna read that for sure.
Primordial 4.
Nice.
That's a good issue, like the way it looks, because I'm like, what am I even looking at?
Oh.
So a bit of that.
Love me some of that.
And then New Burton 2. Kicking ass.
You did read it?
Yep. That book just keeps going. It keeps looking great.
That's good.
And the story just keeps on being like super interesting.
Do you find it hard to remember people's names? I was having trouble like even just with, as I was reading the first issue, I was like, okay, so there's like this guy.
So there's like a conversation that he has and you know who he's talking to, and it's someone that he's mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's not that many names like after that. You know what I mean? There are people that are mentioned in that issue, and then it makes sense like in the issue, and I don't think they'll come up again.
Yeah.
So
I can imagine.
I just know that there's like two like crime families, big crime families that he works with.
Yeah. I just struggled with it a little bit in the first issue because you have to establish like these are the two crime family names, and then you have to know that this one kid is in one of the crime families.
And then you obviously have not read enough crime series, because you just gotta keep fucking pushing forward.
Yeah, that's what I plan on doing. Hopefully,
because it never comes down to like, oh, Jeffrey's dead, and then someone says that, and you're like, who the fuck is Jeffrey? It's never that.
Okay,
you know what I mean? To where like, oh, this only hits home if you're paying really close attention.
I imagine there's not gonna be a moment where it's just like, oh my god, it was Bethany the whole time. You know.
I knew it, that bitch.
I knew it was Bethany from the start.
From the look on her face.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to read all those. I plan on doing that this week.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you read?
That is it.
I read Devil's Reign number one, speaking of Chip.
How was that on its own as an event, you know?
Pretty good.
No Daredevil.
You don't need to know what's going on in Daredevil.
Okay, I looked at it, almost picked it up, but still didn't.
Yeah, you just like... You might be a little confused why like Elektra's running around in like a Daredevil suit, but
that
like
Daredevil suit looks sick though.
So good, very well designed. Marco Cicchetto, I think is his name. Super great artist.
Cicchetto.
But no, you don't really have to know what's going on because they do like a pretty good recap, kind of. Not even like a recap page, but it's just like he gives you all the context that you need.
That's good.
And I knew that he would because, like, I've heard Chip Zdarsky talk about like events, kind of, and like what his issues are with them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that he was doing an event, and I'm like, oh, this will be
I love different. How he just does things like the way he thinks they should be done.
Yeah, he just not, does things the way that he wants.
Follow the status quo.
Yeah. He's not just like picking up any opportunity that he can. Like he really has to want to do it.
Every time I read a new thing that he does that's like different from the last thing, I just like the level of respect just goes way higher. Like a fucking crime book that I'm reading as soon as I get it.
Can you, like, it's killer. Crazy to think that
killer
this guy was only doing Howard the Duck at one point. And now he's doing like a whole Marvel
we
event.
Just knew him as the artist on Sex Criminals.
Do you remember when he, in the first issue of Sex Criminals, it was like Halloween and he was just drawing some kids in like a Spider-Man and like Batman mask, and now he just does those characters professionally?
Yeah,
shit's crazy. But no, I think it's really good. So basically the premise is that Fisk is the mayor of New York.
Yeah.
And he outlaws any sort of superhero or vigilantism, which okay. you'd think is kind of similar to Civil War.
Yeah.
But the way that, and it almost feels like that for a second, and I'm like, this is just Civil War 3, but it's not, because he outlaws every superhero. No superheroes are allowed. Mm. So like your Captain America's, your Iron Man's and all that, they're not allowed in New York at all.
Okay.
And all the superheroes are in New York, right? Uh-huh. So it's a pretty big deal to have like no superheroes there.
So it's not just Hell's Kitchen. It's like New York.
Exactly. And so he does recruit his own team of people to stop vigilantes from doing that. And he recruits villains.
Ooh.
So there's like really interesting ideas in there. And he writes a great Kingpin, and a nice. Great Kingpin is drawn. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay.
I read Silver Coin number 7.
Yeah.
Didn't understand this one that much.
Okay.
But very cool.
Who's on this one?
It was Ram V.
Right.
And I really like the idea because it's like talking about gambling addictions and stuff.
Oh, right.
And that part of it's really cool.
Okay.
And like I like the themes. I just didn't understand the end. Okay. But it was still really cool.
I'll get around to it because since that's like a series that I'm mostly caught up on.
Yeah, exactly.
Just behind by 2.
Yeah. I like number 6 more than number 7 because I just vibe with that idea more.
Yeah, that's something that'll happen with anthologies, you know, just
yeah.
different vibes, different writers.
I'm excited for the next one because that one's by Matt Rosenberg.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
That'll be cool.
Cool.
Which, speaking of, I read What's the Furthest Place from Here, number 1 and 2.
Nice.
Very fun book.
Yeah,
it's big.
It's pretty big.
It's a thick book.
Thick book.
I think the chapters thing is like a little bit strange because it'll be like one chapter. It's like chapter 7. And then it'll be like 2 pages and be like, all right, chapter 8.
Yeah, no, I like the little checkpoints.
I do like that though, yeah.
So
it makes the book feel not as big because you're like, oh, this whole page is just to say chapter.
That's probably what they're thinking, maybe.
Yeah.
I like it though.
It works well with like the pacing. But yeah, I like the questions and I'm starting to get an idea of like what the universe is, and it's different than what I thought the book was going to be, which I didn't really know what to expect anyway, but.
Yeah, you basically knew nothing about it going in.
Yeah, but I like the universe that they're creating so far. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a lot of questions looking for the answers, so I keep going.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler Boss is putting up some crazy work, I think.
Yeah, there was some panels in the second issue that were like really big.
Yeah.
And it was like that bald kid's head. I'm like, this looks so good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, that whole sequence where there's like 3 double page spreads, like back to back to back. And
I was
like,
no way.
I was like, holy shit.
This and is
like
so many pages.
I was flipping through the pages and I was like, interested in what changes in each double page spread.
Yeah, you,
like,
I was flipping back and forth.
Yeah, me too. I was like, okay, this guy's up on a tree now.
It's like this fucking like, what's the difference, like game or whatever.
Yeah, I actually circled it with a red Sharpie. Yeah, super fun. And like that moment where they flip over the bus, I think was pretty cool. Like that was like big panel too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really enjoying it. Definitely gonna keep picking that up.
Dude, in Hulk 2, there was like a Boba Fett crossword puzzle. I'm like, I hope no one's actually like,
wait, what?
Marking this shit. Like, there's an ad for
for Boba Fett,
like a Boba Fett or something like that.
That's funny.
And there's a crossword puzzle in there.
Did you find one of the words?
I found all the words, Nathan.
Oh, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
And they're marked in red Sharpie.
Dude, that'd be great marketing for that. I would like try and do it, you know, like, oh, I know Boba Fett.
But then like you ruin your issue, you know.
Well, I wouldn't like write on it, but I would like look at the clues and be like, that's Sarlacc.
You can get some tracing paper and then mark
that. Yeah, exactly. And then it'll bleed through and I'll be like, no. Yeah,
exactly.
What else did I read? I picked up this random ass independent thing that I'm enjoying so far.
Love that.
It's called The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott.
Okay.
And it's by one person, Zoe Thorogood, I think.
Okay.
And I found her Twitter just randomly. She drew like a really disturbing horror picture. Ooh. And I was like, this is crazy. Let's see what she's about. And she drew this like slice of life book. And it's called The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott. And it's basically just like about this starving artist that has just put her whole life into art, like illustration, painting, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have like much of a social life because she's like working on her art, and she's like, man, fuck art, this all sucks. And then she gets like a spot for 2020 like artist of the year and has to put on like a gallery where mm-hmm. she like showcases 10 new pieces. And as she's like trying to find inspiration for that, she gets jumped and she gets punched in the face. And when she wakes up the next day, she starts to see these black spots like in her vision. And she goes to the doctor and she's like, you're going to be blind in 2 weeks. But she's like an artist. So she has to like, she has 2 weeks to like make these paintings and illustrations for mm-hmm. this art gallery. So she's going out and finding inspiration, like meeting people for like the first time.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And it's really good so far. I'm only like a quarter of the way through it, but I just got through the interaction where she like met her first person. She's like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to go somewhere and like meet people and like make a piece based off those people.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's really like, it's just a nice book, but it's also like, that sucks that she's going to go blind, and that's really stressful because she finally like is making her big break as an artist, and mm-hmm. she's like about to go blind. So
yeah, that's wild. Sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like it would be like an indie movie. So mm-hmm. I'm excited with it so far. I'm just going to keep chipping away at it, I think.
Is it like a graphic novel?
Graphic novel, yeah.
Oh, cool.
About 160 pages.
Okay, gotcha.
So pretty nice, good so nice. Far.
Did you watch anything?
I watch anything. I showed Sophia Spider-Man Far From Home for the first time.
Oh, okay.
We hadn't watched it yet. That's such a kick-ass movie, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She was like a little kid the whole time, like watching it, which like I feel the same way, but I'm glad that like she feels those same things, like mm-hmm. watching this nerdy-ass movie. And it is like a genuinely good movie, but she had no idea who Mysterio is. So like I was waiting for that moment, and I was like nervous almost because I was like, is she gonna understand what's happening? Like, this is a cool moment.
Yeah.
And I like, obviously I knew that Mysterio is a bad guy, so I was kind of expecting something to happen.
Yeah.
She had no fucking clue. So it was really cool to see that with someone with like fresh eyes, you know. So yeah, she liked it a lot. She was super excited for like No Way Home.
Yeah. Sarah's asking me, like, she's only seen the Maguireverse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do I need to watch like all of them to understand what's happening? And I was like, nah, not really.
I don't think so.
I'm like, you just gotta know that there's these villains and like the Garfield movies, and then like Andrew Garfield like didn't save Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, I assume. And then they'll be accommodating to people who haven't seen every single Spider-Man movie, you know.
Yeah, but then also accommodating to the people who have seen every single Spider-Man movie.
It'll be like an Endgame kind of deal, where like, if you've seen every Marvel movie, you'll enjoy it. If you haven't seen every Marvel movie, you'll enjoy it.
I've seen a lot of like reviews from like the premiere and stuff like that, and people are like, this is my favorite Marvel movie.
Cool.
And stuff like that.
So I'm excited. Yeah, we're seeing that Saturday.
Wild, wild, wild.
So yeah, I've been super jazzed with like Spider-Man lately.
I kind of just want to see it and hopefully it doesn't get spoiled for me. And then
I think I'm going to be like off.
Then I can think about it, you know.
I think I'm going to be like off social media like starting tomorrow, because like it premieres like Thursday night or whatever. So
I feel like lately with like the last couple of superhero movies, there hasn't been like an issue.
But this is a huge thing, I feel like. I don't think I had anything like Endgame spoiled for me, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I don't trust Spider-Man fans, man.
Okay. Fair enough.
But that was the only new thing I watched. But I've been playing the Halo Infinite campaign that just dropped.
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
Oh, God. It's so good.
Yeah?
It is so good. It was worth every single minute when they delayed it by a year. It was supposed to come out this time last year. And
it was worth all 28,000 minutes.
Yeah. It was
worth how many in a year?
It was worth 4 billion seconds that I waited. No, super good and very fluid, very fun. And they've added this new mechanic where you have a grappling hook.
Nice.
And I think that a grappling hook is like the best thing to happen to gaming, because it just makes things so fun.
Like moving around.
You can grapple like an enemy and grapple yourselves up to them and punch them.
Wow. And Scorpion style.
Yeah. Scorpion. Well, reverse Scorpion, where Scorpion goes towards them. But you also need it to like get to different points on like a map.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super fun. And I'm really interested to see like how speedrunners use it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like I'm going pretty fast using just fucking around with it.
That's Speedrunner Central.
So I can't wait in like a month to like see that on like Games Done Quick or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, really good. Good story, too. I never have any idea what's going on in any Halo.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of along for the ride, and it's fun.
I'm sure there's a good video explaining everything.
Yeah. Like, one of the, I think it's the first mission. You're like trying to get out of a spaceship, like a really big spaceship that's like falling apart and about to explode. And there's thing, you're on things as they fall, and you have to use your grappling hook to like get to different parts, like as things are falling.
Ooh, nice.
And it was choreographed or designed really well. So sick. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Cool.
Definitely recommend.
Probably won't buy it, but
not to you, but cool. To anybody that's like, should I get Halo?
To cooler people, buy this.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice, nice.
What did you watch?
Nathan, the time has come. We have finished Supernatural.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the good episodes?
All the good episodes. At least. Nice. We finished about 60% of it, because 40% of it is filler. Yeah. Yeah, that's like cool. The like page that I found that maps it out, they like do percentages like each season and what is filler, and then they'll do like the whole calculation for the whole thing, and it's like 40% filler.
That's so funny.
And so I really only watched like 10 seasons, honestly.
Yeah.
But
pretty good?
You know, last season was like probably my least favorite until like, you know, it ended.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, I thought like it felt like it was ending like the second to last episode, you know, the final plot or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And it did. And then like the last episode was like kind of a wrap up kind of thing.
Sure.
And dude, I was a fucking mess when it ended. I was so sad.
Really?
I had to hold back these and hide Sarah from my tears. And then like I went on TikTok later, and anything that was depressing, I was just like an absolute...
You're just unstable.
Oh, absolutely unstable. And I was like, I had a shower, and I was like, I felt like I was having the most depressing shower of my life. You know those sad That's showers awesome. Where your tears just mix in with the water?
Yeah, and it could be 50-50 tears to shower ratio.
Exactly. It was just like, I was so sad. And it was like...
That's awesome.
You know when... So, you're probably not going to watch it. So,
no.
Dean dies. Like,
just long on hair?
Short hair.
Short hair, okay.
Jensen Ackles.
Okay, yep.
And so he dies just on like a normal vampire hunt or whatever.
Okay.
And you know how like when someone dies, it's like a dying scene, and they just like say all the things that hit you the hardest? He said all the things.
Oh man.
And it was so tough. And he's like
I loved you like a brother kind of deal, or like
yeah. And I was almost like predicting the things he's about to say. I'm like, oh, this would hit really hard right now.
You know what would really fucking smack right now? If he said this very sad thing.
I'm proud of you.
You know? Oh, man.
And I'm like, ah! But yeah, it was very emotional. It was kind of funny because like Sam like lives the rest of his life, and he dies like when he's really old. And just seeing him like get older, like the makeup that they use was so fucking funny. So,
oh, really?
Was one it? Of the when he actually died, his wrinkles looked incredible.
Cool.
Like I thought he was like 100 or whatever. But the one right before, it's like his normal face, but he just has this like wig on with like white hair, and he's just like hunched over in like a fucking cardigan, like getting in the car That's one last time person. Or whatever. Yeah. It was just really funny. But yeah, it was all right.
Nice.
Like the whole show in general, like I would not recommend it to anybody. but I did enjoy some things.
Nice. Yeah, people are crazy about that show.
Yeah, I mean, if I was watching it as it came out, I don't think I would stick with it because all the filler episodes.
Yeah.
But that's definitely the way to watch it, because I've watched some filler episodes in accident, and it feels so meaningless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, makes sense. Cool. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Except
oh,
Friday is for Hawkeye, Nathan.
Hawkeye.
Episode four. Did you watch the one that came out today?
No.
Okay, good. It's episode 3, right?
No.
Yes?
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay, fuck.
I'm pretty sure it's 4. And you're going to look stupid.
Probably, honestly.
All right, open up the Disneyland app.
I'm just going to go
to... You want to see wait times?
Go to IMDb. Wait times? What's today? The 15th? Okay, so yeah, episode 4, my bad.
Yep.
So...
What even happened? I know the end. What happened in the beginning?
So he's just talking to like her parents.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it's like being cool, and they had to get more arrows and stuff.
Yeah. And they're like, so you're an Avenger and you need my daughter for things. And he's like, yep. And they're like, all right.
Yeah. They're just like,
just make sure she doesn't die, I guess. Yeah. Which is like, I know that they like have to address that, but like the way that it was handled, like I can't imagine any sane mom would be like, oh yeah, cool. Go hang out with Avengers.
But she knows like her dad is like a weapon.
Yeah, you know? True.
So maybe she's like okay with
like
that?
She's got a few black belts, sure, but like
in medals and trophies and whatnot.
Yeah, I guess.
So I keep thinking, I can't help but seeing like the mom in like The Conjuring. Like every time I see her, like those eyes that she has, you know?
I can't help but see the fucking dad in Better Call Saul. The dude with the mustache.
Oh, who's he in Better Call Saul?
He's just a cartel dude. And he's just as goofy. But he's like sinister at the same time.
Was he in Breaking Bad?
No.
Okay.
No, he's only in Better Call Saul. And he's like head of the like Mexican cartel. Like the one that the old dude with like the bell.
Oh, yeah.
He's like above him.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah. So seeing him like in this show, I'm just like, I think of just the goofy ass, and he looks the exact same mustache, everything.
Yeah, I've never seen him in anything.
So he just like puts on this front as like a nice dude, but he's actually like a bad guy, which is the same thing here. It's cast very well.
Yeah,
but I only see him.
There's a part where Hawkeye goes to like interrogate like second in command for Echo or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you see him leaving like the building to go into his car. And there's a van that says Trust a Bro Moving Company.
That's so good.
I thought that was awesome.
That's funny. Yeah. And then
basically, for some reason, this Rolex is like important. That was from the Avengers compound.
I'm interested to see what that is. I wonder if it just like turned into like an Iron Man hand or whatever.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
Because I remember that in like Winter Soldier, I think.
Yeah, or
he's got like a thing on his arm and he goes like, and he goes over his hand and makes a repulsor hand thing.
I know it was in Civil War, or it was Civil War. He wasn't in Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
he just like he's like
he yeah
pulls it over like a weird glove.
Yeah,
so I think that's probably what it is.
Something like that.
Because who else would have a Rolex, you know, in that building?
No one.
So yeah, so he's really important. That's really important to him. So they go and break into Echo's fucking apartment.
Yeah, there's a silent alarm. I saw the flashing lights, and I'm like, you need to like get out of there. But it was cool that it was like Echo's apartment.
Yeah, that's probably why it had the flashing. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's a silent alarm. Because why have sound? It's not going to do anything.
I mean, you know how sometimes you can like feel sound when it's loud enough?
Yeah, you can.
So
that's how like deaf people like listen to music.
Yeah.
Just blast it.
Wasn't she listening to music in this first episode?
Yeah.
She just has her hand on the woofer.
A lot of people I found out will like bring a balloon or something to concerts because you can really feel sound and vibration if you have like a balloon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's like a better way to like feel it, you know?
Yeah, you definitely feel music in like a venue.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but yeah, I think the action at the like ending scene was super cool.
Oh, great action.
I think I was like excited when Hawkeye is like, we need a quick exit. And I'm like, zipline arrow. Easily. I was like, I can't wait to see a zipline arrow.
I loved how when he shot it, the back of it like grappled onto something too.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was dope.
I like that she got stuck in the middle of the grapple.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's just like looking at Hawkeye. Because
it was pretty straight. Like,
yeah. She's like looking at Hawkeye fight this person and she's like, fuck, what are we doing here? She's gonna like shake.
She's like scooching and it like, it fucking hurt my ears just because like the sound was like terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a cool big old fight. Did you know who the person was before she got revealed?
Like immediately, yeah.
It took me like 2 minutes and I was like, who the fuck could this be? And then it clicked.
You know, I think it might have been spoiled for me, so I think that's why I knew.
Oh, I was like trying really hard to figure it out. But the mask thing. Yelena. So.
Yeah, I don't know why she like fought them and then just like jumped off the building. I feel like this would be the time to
Because like her mask was down or whatever. Did she put it down? I don't know.
So at this point, she has a reason to fight him. It's not like during when she's brainwashed, right?
Yeah, she wants to hunt down the person that killed Black Widow.
Right.
So
just checking.
Yeah, and then Hawkeye's like, this got really real. So like, you need a dip. So
yeah
fun stuff. And I think the LARPers are going to make their outfit. I think that's probably pretty clear, right?
I felt like their outfits are pretty cool already. Like, I like Kate Bishop's, but do you think we'll see the hip circles?
No hip circles, but we'll see the big blocky arrow that's like pointed down. I think we'll see that one.
Oh, you think so?
I think it's in like promo.
You think we'll get the H mask?
No H mask.
I don't know, man. That'd be pretty sick.
It'll just be like modern Hawkeye now. Like no mask, but like
you just wear
purple, black sort of color scheme with like that big blocky arrow.
You gotta have sick cargo pants.
Yeah, true. But I think we'll see that. If we see hip circles though, that'd be kinda wild.
Yeah, it might look good. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe it won't be like exposed hip, but it'll be like just like the design is like a circle's there. You know what I mean?
I could see that.
So we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. Good show so far. I'm enjoying it a lot. Can't wait for the next episode. Yeah, that's already out.
I was really looking forward to that. And then, you know, I'm still watching Dexter, things like that. I'm just caught up on that.
I still need to watch that.
Great show. I need to watch it. Because cool. It just like, it just all comes back, you know, and then it's a completely different situation.
And he's like, my dark passenger is still here.
Yeah.
I so, hated that, dude.
Yeah, I was
come
a
up with
annoying.
A better name. Dark Passenger.
I think there's a band called The Ghost Inside that had a song called Dark Passenger. I don't know if it's based off of Dexter, but I always think of that song like whenever he says it.
Dude, we'd never read a Dexter book.
Yeah, I know. Because it's all...
We fucked.
It's
we fucked
only.
Up.
I think it's only physical. We can still read one. There's a couple episodes left.
Maybe for the finale. What are we going to read next week, though?
Oh, okay. Let's take a look at the old list. So we have options, Nathan.
Sure.
On December 22nd, which is next
week,
next Wednesday.
The Matrix?
There's The Matrix. So we could read The Invisibles, which is loosely based on. I think that's a 12-issue one, so that might be tough.
Okay.
And then there's also The King's Man that comes out.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, we should do a Kingsman book, huh?
I think there's only one Kingsman book.
Let's do The Kingsman.
Okay, perfect.
Let's see if that's on Comixology. Yeah, because there's...
I think it is, right?
I saw like part of a fight scene as like a promo for that movie, and I was like, I'm sold. This is super fun.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to watch it.
I think it'll be really good.
I don't think it streams. I think it's only in theaters. So Kingsman, The Secret Service, they even got it rebranded with the movie poster.
Okay, good.
Sounds good. By Dave Gibbons?
Yeah.
Wait.
I guess so. Like Watchmen?
Like Watchmen Dave Gibbons?
Yeah, I guess so.
Holy shit.
I don't know.
Are you shitting me?
Is it Dave Gibbons? It is Dave Gibbons, huh?
It looks good. Like, this is like good art. It looks like modern. Like, he's like, when did this come out?
Well, Dave Gibbons has done modern stuff. He's done like Green Lantern and stuff. That's like really good.
Okay. Nice. This is sick. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know when this originally came out, but it's just cool. Because I didn't know I don't know other things that he's done, you know what I mean?
You thought he was just a one and done?
Maybe. Think about it. He took credit for everything that came after.
Yeah, technically, because Alan Moore was like, I don't want my name on this.
So the writer money and the...
I don't think he got just that money by default.
Maybe. Co-creator?
Maybe.
But yeah,
Kingsman Secret Service.
Sick. Next week. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to see if I can find a copy.
Yeah.
Pre-used or pre-owned.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
If you want to reach out to us,
give us an email. Tell us what to read.
At tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Tweet at us.
On Twitter, at tradewaiterspod.
Comment on our TikToks.
Sure.
At tradewaiters on TikTok.
Yeah. Or like them.
Or like them.
Do the other and then copy the link or whatever. That's good too.
Yeah. Copy link.
For the algorithm.
Or share with your friends.
Yeah. Even better.
Whatever you like.
And that's it for this week.
Alrighty.
Peace out.